My message today is going to be about giving, praying, and fasting for the right reasons, as Jesus teaches us in Matthew 6 as part of the Sermon on the Mount. Lord, we love you and praise you. And we ask you, Lord, that you would just help me, Holy Spirit, to just preach the words of Jesus and teach the words of Jesus. Holy Spirit, Jesus said that you would lead us and guide us into all truth, that you are our teacher. So I just ask that you take the words that I speak and that you anoint them, Lord, Holy Spirit, with power, and that they would just fall, that you would open all of our hearts to receive, Lord, because we want to follow your directions. We want to follow your will, your way, your plan, the exact way that you tell us to do things, just as we learned from Linda. And Pastor Harvey used to always tell us, whenever the Lord tells you to do something, if you do it exactly the way he told you, it's guaranteed to work. So, Father, we know that these three things are important to our Christian walk and our Christian life and representing you. So we want to do it all for your glory, not for any other reason, but for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So how many of you know that it's impossible to do spiritual things in front of others without thinking what their opinion is of us while we're doing those things? Anybody ever experienced that? You're in a service, get ready to pray, someone asks you to pray. What's the first thing that comes into your mind? They're asking me to pray? I don't know how to pray. What are they going to think about? You know, I can't pray like so-and-so or... You know, those types of things come into your mind. Thinking what their opinion is of us as we do those things, how they're thinking better or worse of us as we do what we're doing. Sometimes it's easier to do what's right when we gain recognition and praise. To be sure our motives are not selfish, we should do our good deeds quietly or in secret with no thought of reward. Jesus says that we should check our motives in these three areas, generosity or giving, good deeds. So generosity, prayer, and fasting. Those acts, when we do those things, they should not be self-centered, but God-centered. We're not doing it for the praise of men. We're not doing it to put on a show. We're doing it for Him. This shouldn't be done to make us look good, but to make God look good and be done for His glory. So let's look at Matthew 6, verses 1 and 2. First thing Jesus teaches us about is giving. It's actually the word giving there, almsgiving, is charitable deeds. So it really means not just giving of finances, but that's the main thing he's talking about. But it's talking about all our good deeds, all the good things that we do to bless people and help people is what he's really talking about. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. So the term hypocrites, I think everybody knows what that means. It's used here. It describes people who do good acts for appearances only. Not out of compassion or other good motives or pure motives. Their actions may be good, but their motives are hollow. These empty acts are their only reward. But God will reward those who are sincere in their faith and who do it for His glory. And that's what we always want to do. And believe me, as a minister, there's a fine line there that you got to really kind of watch it, that you're not crossing it almost all the time. But once you learn how to do it, it's such a relief because you're not up here trying to get the applause, the great big applause of the whole congregation because you're just this dynamic, perfect, theatrical preacher and so eloquent and orator or whatever, you know. That's not the purpose of it. whenever you're up here to share or you're praying or fasting or doing any good deeds, the purpose is always to bring glory to God. It's always because you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You love that person, and we love each other. That's why we're here. Amen? I know these are basics, but I think they're good. In the beginning of the year, I think it's good to go through the basics. That's why I started with getting back into the Word of God. Now we'll just look at these basic things, giving, praying, and fasting, so that we can, you know, take off this year on the right foot and be focused and do things right. Listen to a more modern translation of those first couple verses. It's the Message. I know a lot of people don't like the Message. I'm not crazy about it. It is watered down and pretty weak in some areas. But in some areas, it really gives you a good picture of what is being said in our own English language so you can understand it. The heading over there, this whole the beginning of this chapter in the Message is, I love this, the world is not a stage. Right? And this is how they translate it in the Message. Be especially careful when you're trying to be good so that you don't make a performance out of it. Amen? It might be good theater, but believe me, the God who made you won't be applauding you. Don't you love that? When you do something for someone else, don't call attention to yourself. You've seen them in action, I'm sure. Play actors, hypocrites, play actors. I call them treating prayer meeting and street corner alike, like it's a big stage. Acting compassionate as long as someone's watching. Playing to the crowds. We've all seen that. I'm sure you can pick up on it and discern it very easily with some preachers that you watch on TBN. They're just playing to the crowds. They're just being so theatrical. They're out for the applause of men, and not only the applause of men, but for the money of men and women. They get applause, true, but that's all they'll ever get. When you help someone out, don't think about how it looks. Just do it quietly and discreetly so that your deeds of charity may be seen in secret and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Don't you love that? The idea is that when we do righteous deeds for the attention and applause of men, their attention and applause is your only reward you're going to get. If that's what you want, that's not what I want. I don't want the attention, the applause of men and women. I want my rewards from God. I want to do it because I want him to bless me. I want him to, and it says he'll reward you openly. It's much better to receive the reward from our Father in heaven, don't you think? The reward God promises, I believe, will be in this world. You'll see him openly in this world and in the next, right? I'll just share one verse. Proverbs 19, verse 17 says this about giving alms or giving to the poor. Giving help to the poor is like loaning money to the Lord. He will pay you back for your kindness. Isn't that awesome? So that's one way you could get blessed openly here in the world. And then we know that Jesus taught in Matthew 25 at the Great White Throne Judgment, there's a huge reward remaining for us that do good deeds. And this is what he says in Matthew 25:34. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. The king will answer, the truth is, anything you did for any of my people here, you also did for me. That's our motive, right? We're not doing it for any other person except for him. Amen. Doing something only for ourselves is not a loving sacrifice. So when we're doing good deeds, ask yourself this. Would I still do this? Even if no one was ever watching or no one ever knew that I did this, Would I do it? Amen. As again, I said before, our only motive should be this. We love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and we're doing it because we're serving him. And we love our neighbor as ourself. Amen. And when we minister to each other, it's because we are doing what Jesus prayed for, that we would love one another, especially in the body of Christ. That's the purest motive, is love, right? Pure love for God and compassion and love for neighbors should be the reason for doing these things. Remember what Paul constantly went over in 1 Corinthians 13. What did he say? 1 Corinthians 13:3. I can give everything I have to the poor, and I can even give up my body to be burned as a martyr. But if I have no love, this does me no good. It is worth nothing. Verse 5. And when you come before God to pray, now he's talking about praying. And when you come to God, before God to pray, don't turn that into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom. Do you think God sits in a box seat just to watch you pray? Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Actually, the word in the King James is, it says, go into your closet to pray. And that word closet is a secret place. It's a secret chamber. Amen? Go into the secret place of the Most High with your Father. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you'll begin to sense his grace. Pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you in the open. I love this, some rewards that we might see openly from prayer are what? When we're praying in our secret place with our Father, that we might see openly here on earth would be salvations. To me, that's a great reward, right? Healings. You know, it's great to lay hands on people and see them healed, but I know I've prayed for plenty of people who never even knew I was praying for them, and they get healed and share their testimony of how God healed them. Amen? That's an open reward that we see when we get alone with Father and pray. And pray for our, you know, his kingdom. We pray for our needs. We pray for others' needs. Those are some of the rewards that you'll see. And it goes on and on. Breakthroughs in areas of our lives will come as we get together in the secret place with our Father. And in the lives of those that we pray for, that we have on our prayer list. And I tell you, to me, there's no greater joy and no more awesome reward to see God answer prayers for others that you've been praying for in the secret place of the Most High. Amen? Verses 7 and 8. He says, then when you pray, now he gives instructions, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. So it's very simple. Jesus is saying, repeating the same words over and over like a magic incantation is no way to ensure that God will hear your prayer. It's not wrong to come to him many times with the same request, because Jesus taught us about being persistent in our prayer life. But he condemns the shallow repetitions of words that are not offered with a sincere heart. Good example of this would be praying over the rosary beads, like Catholics do. That's a vain repetition. They just repeat the same thing over and over and over. Nothing from their heart. Maybe heartfelt, but it's just a vain repetition. That's one of the things. And there are many prayers. There are many religions where they get up morning, lunch, and evening and use the same prayers over and over and over. That's what the heathen do. He's telling us not to do that. Come before him with a sincere heart. We can never pray too much, though, if our prayers are honest and sincere. Amen? verses 8 through 13. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. I love that verse 8 right there. That's always been one of my favorite verses. When we pray, we should come believing he's our loving Father and trust in his tender, loving care for us, that his grace is sufficient for us, that he is there, that he will take care of us because he's our Father. It's very simple. True prayer when you're with Father God is you're just coming like a little child to him with the faith of a little child, believing that he's just going to give you what you need, not what you want, but what he knows you need and what is going to be best for your life. It's a childlike feeling of trust in him which gives prayer all its effectiveness. That's where I really believe that's probably the biggest key to praying right there, is just having that childlike faith. Being so in love with him like you would be in love with a father and coming to him and asking him for what you need. And then Jesus gives them the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Then he says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Let's talk about the Lord's Prayer real quick. It's often called the Lord's Prayer because Jesus gave it to the disciples as a model prayer. But really, it's our prayer. He was teaching us to pray. Because Jesus would never have to ask for his own sins to be forgiven. He never sinned. Forgive us our sins. Jesus never sinned. And so, you see what I'm saying? It's the disciples' prayer, but he was just teaching the disciples how to pray. So Jesus provides a pattern for us to be imitated and duplicated. First of all, we should praise God. That's how the prayer is set up. Pray for his work in the world. Then pray for our daily needs. Pray for the help in our daily struggles. It's just a great guide for you to use to get your prayer started. We know there's many other things that the Word of God tells us to pray for. Pray for our leaders of our nations. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send in laborers. Intercede and pray for each other. So on and so on. Paul says we're to pray without ceasing, which just simply means you've learned how to commune with the Father all day long. You've learned how to bring everything to him all the time. Amen? That's what it says in Proverbs 3:6. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. That's what it means to pray without ceasing. Everything I do, I'm bringing to him first. I'm acknowledging him first. I'm committing it to him. I'm rolling it off on him first, and he will direct your paths. Let's talk about the forgiveness thing, though. So important. Verses 14 and 15. Startling warning about forgiveness that Jesus gives. Listen to it. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father also will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. If we refuse to forgive others, this is so important. Forgiveness is such a key, is so important in the Christian life. God will also refuse to forgive us. Why? Because it means we don't understand what his forgiveness really is. We don't really understand what grace means. Look, he forgave us by grace through faith. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. It was all by grace. We're denying our common ground as sinners in need of God's forgiveness. God's forgiveness of sin isn't a direct result of our forgiving others, because our forgiveness is really based on the blood of Jesus. But it's based on our realizing what forgiveness means. That's why Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32, get rid of all bitterness, passion, and anger. No more shouting or insults. No more hateful feelings of any sort towards anybody. Instead, be kind and tender-hearted to one another, and you must forgive one another the same way that God has forgiven you through Christ. Amen? So not only is it a good reason to forgive others because of what Jesus taught there, but there are a multitude of reasons why we need to forgive others. Why? Because there's tremendous benefits when you learn how to forgive. When you learn the supernatural power of forgiving people, there's tremendous benefits. Bitterness, anger, and unforgiveness towards those who offend us will not only hurt your spiritual life, but it will make you sick physically, emotionally, and mentally sick. It is terrible when you are filled with hatred and your mind's consumed with it, your body's consumed with it, you can't sleep sometimes, you can't eat sometimes. It's a horrible place to be. That's why we need to ask the Holy Spirit to teach us to forgive. So my prayer is that if anyone here today still need to forgive someone in your life, the Holy Spirit will help us forgive them today so we can be free from that bondage and receive the healing in our life. Before you leave this place today, do that. Forgive them. Can't do it on your own, but ask the Holy Spirit to give you the power, and he will give you the supernatural power to do it. It's very important. So important to ask him to teach us and give us the power to forgive others. And you better learn how to do it now, because trust me, you'll be doing it for the rest of your life here on earth. As long as we're in this fallen world, you'll be asking people for forgiveness because you're going to offend them, and you'll be forgiving people because they're going to offend you in this life. So you need to learn how to do it, because we don't want to be walking around all bondage and all uptight and sick and not being able to get rid of those things, right? That's a major reason why we need to get rid of and learn how to deal with that. As hard as it is, but with his power we can do everything, right? Can do all things through him who strengthens us. And especially now that we're born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, we can do it. Verses 16 through 18. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Fasting is tough for some of us. I'll admit, it's not one of my strong points. I hope I can get better at it this year, because I know that it does benefit us. Going without food, especially to spend time in prayer and be with God, that's what fasting really is about, just to spend more time with him. Giving up those things to spend more time with him in prayer and in the world. It's noble, but it's difficult. Gives us time to pray, teaches us self-discipline, reminds us that we can live with a lot less than we thought we could, helps us appreciate God's gifts. Jesus was not condemning fasting or any of these things, but the hypocrisy, the play acting, the performance aspect of it. We're not doing these things to perform, to get applause of other people, to make think, oh, aren't you just so spiritual and so holy? Believe me, it goes on. And the big sins that we commit, they're easy to stay away from because we're really aware of them. But this one can be really subtle sometimes. Sometimes you don't even know you're doing it. I believe that's, and you know, Jesus was teaching this to the disciples before they received the Holy Spirit. They were getting ready to go out and do some really radical, awesome, powerful things. Not only with praying and fasting and giving, but they were going to go out and do healings, preach, see thousands of people saved. So that applies to all those gifts also. And it's real, you know, I've heard a lot of my professors in school, and I've heard a lot of older gentlemen who the Lord has really blessed in their ministries. And man, if your ministry really takes off and you get blessed, your head gets big. Your pride goes up, and you start really loving all that attention from those men and women and all that applause. But it's very subtle, and it's something that we always need to be aware of. Fasting was mandatory for the Jewish people once a year, only on the Day of Atonement. But the Pharisees volunteered to fast twice a week to impress people with their holiness. Again, it seems like a simple message, but we live in a society where everything is based on your what? Performance. What you receive from everybody is based on your performance before them. As I've shared with you before, I think, you know, you really want to know what the definition of a spirit of religion is? Performance. I have to perform before everybody. I have to make them think that everything's okay and I'm super spiritual and I don't have a problem in the world and I can do everything. I can pray better than them. I can fast better than them. I can preach better than them. I know the Bible better than them. That's the spirit of religion. We really need to be aware of that and be cautious of that, because that type of spirit is just ugly. Don't you think so? Have you ever been around people like that? It's a bad spirit to be around. As human beings, we're naturally inclined to want to impress the people around us so they'll think highly of us. If you've ever led a service, like I said, or been in front of people praying, preaching, or teaching, you know exactly what Jesus is talking about here. But let me tell you, as I shared with you earlier, there's such freedom. It's a religious spirit is such bondage. Do you think that you have to perform to get the people of in the church to like you or feel that you're spiritual? That's an ugly spirit. That's a terrible spirit. Amen. And I'm kind of just getting stirred up just even thinking about it. I don't ever want that to happen in this church. We accept you for who you are. We love you. We'll show you grace and we'll edify you and build you up. You don't have to come here and act like super saint to be accepted in this church. Amen? It's good. We want you to be edified. We want you to be full of faith. We want you to be full of fire and passion for Jesus, as long as it's pure and sincere. Thank you, Lord. Jesus encourages us to do these acts of self-sacrifice quietly and sincerely. He wanted us to adopt these spiritual disciplines always for the right reasons, not for selfish desires for praise of men, but to receive our reward from our Father in heaven and to make sure that he gets all the glory that he deserves. Amen? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we just ask you that we would always remain pure and holy, that our motives would be just out of love for you and love for each other. As we do these spiritual disciplines and all the other ones, we're so grateful for all the gifts and everything that you've given us. And we know that we lack in no gift in this church, Lord. We can see all of them flowing. But Lord, never let us do it out of a spirit of performance. Never let there be a religious spirit in this place. Let us do it because we love you, we love one another, And we love those out there, Lord. And we just want to see your name lifted high. We want to see you glorified. We want to see, just like Jesus taught in the chapter before, we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. We want to do our good deeds so that people may see them and glorify our Father in heaven, and for no other reason. So help us, Lord. Help us never to do them for the wrong reasons. And help us to discern and be aware, Holy Spirit, when that spirit comes around. Because sometimes it likes to raise its ugly head with all of us. But we thank you. And I ask you especially again for the forgiveness. Lord, if there's any of us here that have people in our lives that we haven't forgiven, that you would enable us by the power of the Holy Spirit to forgive them, that you would release us from that. We would release them from that, that there would be freedom from that bondage, and that there would be healing in our spirit, soul, and body, and healing in those relationships. We ask you to do it. We know you're the only one that can do it. And we know supernatural, that forgiveness is supernatural. It only can be done, I believe, by the power of the Holy Spirit. But we're trusting you and relying on you to do it. And let us just leave this place totally set free, totally healed, totally full of joy, and looking forward to moving forward for you and doing great things for you, for your glory and honor. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.